Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hire some marketing bro. I'm your host, William Downs. We bring on regular business owners like you and me to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives about AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. Basic Business AI is sponsored by Conversational Funnels, the new way to automate lead generation, qualification, and appointment bookings for service-based businesses. If you want more sales calls on your calendar without having to pay some expensive marketing agency or hire appointment setters, Conversational Funnels are the best bang for your buck in 2024. Download the blueprint for free by going to conversationalfunnels.com. Today's guest is Spencer Lowe. Spencer is a certified application architect and has over 10 years of a consulting experience with Salesforce.com, CEO of Solved, and host of Lessons in Leverage. Spencer, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Will. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm going to go right into it. We always just start with this question. From your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of your industry?
Yeah. So, I mean, we help companies implement AI. And so this is something we see both in our business and with our clients on a day-to-day basis. And so we have a whole practice dedicated to that pursuit, because what I believe about my industry is that long-term knowledge-based industries like ours, where we had specialized knowledge, our competitive advantage as Salesforce consultants was that we had specialized knowledge about Salesforce that others didn't have. That part of the business is just going to get commoditized. I mean, AI is taking us in a direction where knowledge is readily available and highly technical specialized knowledge is readily available to everyone. And so what that creates, in my opinion, is that that moves us in a direction where the biggest bottleneck, and I actually think we're already here. If you think about what ChatGPT can do right now, nobody's using it to its fullest extent. What that means is that humans are already the bottleneck. The tech is outpacing our ability to adopt it. And so what that means is that the opportunity for us and for our industry is to shift towards helping the human side unbottleneck that, adopt the tool, find the right ways to be using it, not get lost in all the hype and the noise, but really implement it quickly and effectively so that they can get the most out of their business.
I love that. I'd like to hit on two things. So, and maybe you can touch on maybe what you would consider like some of the hype and the noise that is just like clouding this thing and making AI seem whatever. And then really like, what is like a key usage that like your tool even makes use of, and your service makes use of? Maybe you can kind of talk about that and the benefits of that and like the basic idea, but then how you guys have expanded on that.
Yeah, I think people, what's the hype? The hype is that people are asking the wrong question. They're asking like, is AI going to replace my job? Is AI going to ruin our industry? They're all fear-based questions. And they're also questions that we can't really answer very accurately. The truth is it's going to replace a lot of industries. It's going to replace a lot of jobs. But on a day-to-day basis, there's a bunch that's in our control. And Peter Diamandis is really a leader in this area as one of the leading futurists out there. And he says that by 2030, there's just going to be two types of businesses that are AI integrated and businesses that are gone. And so it's less about trying to figure out, it'd be like trying to say, how do I become an internet business? That's how things were back in the 2000s. But now, really, the question is just, how do I become AI integrated? And so if that's the question, is just what's the right next step, then the hype is a lot of the widgets, it's the tools, and it's a lot of the trying to figure out what it means instead of just taking what's clearly valuable and implementing it. And there's really two ways that needs to happen in every organization. The first way is bottom up. And that's what most people talk about in AI. It's the individual use case. It's, you know, AI is expected in the next few years to 3 to 5x individual worker productivity. And so if that's the case, then I need to learn about the tools, which is not that difficult, because increasingly what AI does is it brings down the barrier, because you can use plain language. It'll explain itself to you. So I need to learn about the tools, but the bigger opportunity and necessity for me as an individual is to learn how to help humans adapt and adopt the tools. Because if I'm someone who's leading that in my organization, I'm not going anywhere. It doesn't matter if AI replaces what I did. If I can help the organization become AI enabled and become AI first, that's a massive, you are disproportionately valuable. And so that becomes such a key advantage. That means A few different things. So for the bottom up, it means you got to help your organization get to a clear AI policy. They need to actually be talking about it because studies have shown from Gartner that something like 65% of people are using unapproved tools right now in organizations, and only like 30% of organizations have clear policies in the first place. And so when you keep that in mind, if you have not, if you just thought like covering up your eyes and being like, I hope our employees don't do it, they're doing it. And so you're putting yourself at risk. So you need a clear policy on what they can do, which tools they can use, you know, making sure that in something like ChatGPT, they've gone in and disabled data retention, disabled being able to share and update their models. Those types of things are going to protect your business and your company, and even potentially buying some company licenses and giving it to them, which gets into the second thing, which is empowerment. You got to give the team what they need. So they need training, they need tools, they need budgets. They need to know if they're allowed to spend company time going to a training about AI. Like, you got to set the rules so they know how to go implement and 3 to 5x their individual productivity. And then incentives. You got to reward the right things. And that means giving them clarity so that they're not scared about, man, if I automate this, do I not have a job anymore? And it means making sure you're promoting the people and rewarding financially the people who are creating those automation and AI outcomes in your business, so that people see that that's actually the path to my career growth. It's not the thing that's going to push me out. And so I think those are the three key elements to bottom up. But the second side of it is top down. And this is where people get lost in fear, is top down is a much bigger question. It's, how does AI get integrated into one of our business processes or our department, or our company at large, our product? How do we do that? What are we supposed to do? Are we going to get disrupted? And there's really only four steps you need to think through on this. You need to have a clear process design, meaning how is your process working today? And what is the opportunity in terms of putting AI in? And what kind of ROI could I get on that? And this is where you have to be really practical about it, because that's what's going to separate the hype from the signal. Is, if something is hyper expensive, and usually what you're going to find is the cutting edge tools are just not worth it. They're in AI, all of the cost is to take AI to the next level. So the cutting edge tools are always the most expensive and the hardest to adopt. One version back, which is like 6 months ago, so one model back, is free on OpenAI. So the gap between cost and difficulty and accessibility, between cutting edge and one step back, focus on one step back. Focus on things that are established. They're on their second version. They have some stability, as opposed to trying to get into all the cutting edge shit that's coming out. And then the second element is your data design. So you need to be looking at your product, your processes, et cetera. Where does all the data live? Because AI ingests data to be useful. So you have to have a clear strategy around where your data is going to live, what systems you're putting it in. Is there a data warehouse or a data lake? And how are we using those so that our data can become an asset for us with AI? The third is going to be human design, which is one of the big mistakes I see companies making right now, is letting AI be customer facing. I highly do not recommend that. Automate everything up to the point of customer interaction, and then put a human on the customer interaction. It cuts through the noise, and it really amplifies the experience for your customer. And you can still get 90% of the efficiency on the back end. Like, have AI write the email, prep it, merge in all the data, get it all the way, but have a human look at it, tweak it, make sure it feels human before it goes out, is a huge difference of just keeping the final draft or the final touch human. And you'll get to a point where you won't have to do that in some areas, but starting from there is really powerful. The last thing is transparency. You got to update your terms of service and make sure from a legal standpoint, you're disclosing to your customers how you're using AI, what's happening with their data, so that you have that transparency and trust with them. But those are the four pieces of top down and the three pieces of bottom up that companies need to think through. And if they do that, I think they're going to be able to stay highly, highly competitive, because you don't have to be at the cutting edge. You don't have to win by adopting the newest tech and being out in front. You just have to outpace in your adoption your competitors. And that's really what's going to keep you winning right now, is you can't fall behind the median. You've got to stay up in that upper quartile of adoption and moving forward. And that doesn't mean being on the bleeding edge. It means adopting just a little bit faster than your peers. And that's what we've done. And we've seen really good results with it.
Oh, I love that. That's great. So tell me how, so Solved, would that be the company?
Yeah.
That, Solved. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
That's us. So it is important, because if you go to solved.com, there's a long story behind it, but that is not us. It's a development firm out of Canada, but we are solved.cloud. So if you go to our website, you'll see some about this, but we do a lot of this one-on-one. Like, we set up what's called an AI readiness assessment, and then we do this work one-on-one. And that's because it needs to be highly customized to your needs. You don't want to try to be just doing this with broad brushes. You don't want to go in and just be like, throw AI at stuff. It's a recipe for disaster. So definitely it needs a look. And what we do is exactly what I just described. We have organize processes for a readiness assessment for implementing this top down and or bottom up in your organization. Now, with that being said, a few of the other things that I wanted to maybe point out that would be valuable for the audience, just some best practices and things that, yeah. that I think would be helpful for them. You want to make sure that when you're building, so when you're doing top down, when you're building, you want to build things that are not going to be obvious evolutions of the tool. So I see a lot of companies doing this right now where they're like, the tool is close, but we needed to do this additional thing. So they spend 6 weeks, 2 months building a widget, and then the next version of the tool comes out and it's obsolete. So you got to look at what parts AI does well. It's going to get smarter. It's going to get more automated. So don't try to get in the game with OpenAI and with Gemini and with Anthropic and with all these companies. They're going to win. Our goal is not to be them. We want to build solutions that use their technology. And that means structuring our data in a way and then our solution in a way where we're LLM agnostic. So we're not built on one tool. We have a data set we can feed any LLM, and we have automations that trigger off of that. And so now we can swap out whoever happens to be in the lead with the best LLM for our use case, or in some cases, we use different LLMs for different use cases because they happen to be better. So with that being said, you want to build, if you're going to build with AI, that's the number one thing that I see people sometimes get wrong is they get dependent on one particular solution and they feed everything to that solution instead of building an architecture where they keep their data in their hands, they feed it in when needed, they get the results and outputs, and it's scalable. It can swap in and out interchangeably. The other thing is you got to be very clear about what your vision for a very automated AI-driven future looks like for your product, service, or company. What I mean by that is, that's the other thing that's going to cut through the noise of like, is this hype? Is this relevant to us? There's going to be a bunch of widgets to do stuff slightly better. The change cost when you're already the bottleneck of like learning and adopting to these tools is so painful for the humans. You got to be strategic about which tools you choose to implement. So you got to know there's a huge use case for your business. And that means having spent the time and maybe talked to peers to know where your industry is going so that you're not just throwing AI at everything. Let's throw AI at our sales. Let's throw AI at service. Let's throw it at our product. Let's just label, you know, I've seen companies really waste a lot of money flailing around that way as well. And then the last thing you asked me is really how we're using it at Solve. So the types of things we're doing internally at our company, and this is just an easy for every company, if you're not recording every call with a tool like Fireflies or Chorus or, you know, take your pick. There's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah.
You should be doing that immediately. We started that 2.5-3 years ago when we first saw this AI wave starting, because we said that's some of the most valuable data we have as a knowledge-based business. Being able to record everything we did, why we did it, what happened, how the customer responded to it. This is the kind of data set that now we have years of data we can feed into an AI model and say, all right, knowing what you know about our projects and about our history, did this call go well? Did our consultant follow our SOPs and best practices? Did they get these outcomes that we expect them to get? And now we can automatically score every single call. And so our managers can see which consultants are strong in which areas or not area or other areas they're weaker. Where do they need to coach? Where is there a red flag on a project they might need to dive into? Instead of having to go watch those all manually, it's very easy. And so since we have that data set, then we're able to build these tools. So if you're not recording right now, record them, keep them long-term, make sure that you have access to them, because that data set in any company becomes highly, highly valuable with AI.
What is your favorite, before you go to the next thing, what is your favorite tool for that?
We use Fireflies. We've evaluated a lot of tools, and there's arguments for lots of different tools.
Sure.
On the sales side, Gong is really out in the lead, but they're pretty expensive. And for us being a technical staff and being able to build a lot of our own stuff, Fireflies was one of the lowest dollar costs relative to the amount of value we got. I think we were paying, I think somewhere in the low, like mid to high 20s when we signed up per user, but we're getting unlimited call and video recording. And that is a massive value to us,
wow,
because we extract
yeah.
all of that via API and then feed that to models. So that we I don't know if they're even still offering that or what their current pricing is, but when we signed up, that's where we ended up, was we were looking for the lowest cost tool that had the highest amount of data retention and ability to pull it out via API.
Right.
Those were key ingredients for us. Now on, as far as some other use cases, we use it for internal data analysis. This is one that I find a lot of people don't know they can do still, surprisingly. You can just take a report or data, drop that data file CSV into ChatGPT, and then ask it questions. Now, You have to know your data well enough to know if it's getting things wrong. And actually, the biggest mistake I see people make when they start doing analysis is they'll ask questions where ChatGPT will use Python to start filtering the data set in the background. Then they'll ask a new question and they'll get a response that's wrong, but they won't know it's wrong because they won't realize that the data has been filtered. So the easiest way around that is just to ask a series of questions to get to one answer that filters down to one answer, and then start a new chat, upload the data, do it again. So that gets you that's the easiest way to just avoid that risk of needing or having to go read the code and be technical. If you don't want to be technical, just give it the data, ask it the questions. And then the other thing is you need to, you know, smell test it. And all right, does that seem like the right number? Do I need to dig in deeper? Because it sometimes will make decisions that or you know, assume things that are a little bit off from what you need. So data analysis is a big one that I use it for, especially when I have system, you know, I have QuickBooks data, I have data from Salesforce, and we have analytics tools, but analytics tools take time to set up. And then if I'm not going to need this metric in a recurring way, it's not worth the investment. So I'll just pull the data sets out, give it to ChatGPT and say, in this case, what did you see? What happened here? And I can get a really quick answer. So another thing I use it for is I use it as an individual coach. So when I'm in the car, if you have the paid version of ChatGPT, you can hit the little headphone button on it and use it to have a conversation with it. And I just tell it what I want it to pretend to be. Sometimes that's a lawyer. You know, I had a legal issue where I wanted to get legal answers before I went to my lawyer and had to pay them. So I just started that while I was in the car. And so now I'm driving and I'm like, as my lawyer, you tell me, here's the situation. What should I be thinking about? What are the implications of this? What are the implications of that? So by the time I talked to my lawyer, we only had to have a 15-minute conversation because I did that all without having to do it at home. I could do that on the road. So that's the value of that headphone button, is when you get comfortable talking to AI and having a back and forth dialogue. Now your car rides, your, you know, time that you would be spending doing other things, you're washing dishes, you put headphones in and talk to AI and learn things in real time, learn about the legal side, learn about really any subject that you need to learn about. And so I use it as a learning tool and a coach to ask it questions. And I do better audibly as opposed to writing it out. That's a big one. Obviously, the typical use cases, we use it to accelerate our code development. That's made us way faster in coding. You know, we use it for all our SOPs. So every time we move quick as an organization, when we update how we do something, the leader on the executive team that's in charge of it, they always, anything that they're going to do, they have to take it, record it, give it to ChatGPT, get the SOP printed out and update it in our wiki, which we keep in Slack canvases, so that the whole company has it. And then we run a training on it. So it takes, you know, only 5-6 minutes a lot of times to get a whole new SOP built on a process that's changing. And now everyone in the company knows what the latest information is. So it's made that way more accessible. One that a lot of people don't know about is Google has a free tool called Notebook LM. It's in beta, but it's a really, really good tool. And what makes it so powerful is you can actually, when you ask ChatGPT a question, you give it information, it's going to give you an answer that really is not clear how much of its answer is based on the data you gave it and how much it's just taking from the internet at large. Notebook LM, if I give it data sets, so for example, we take all our best practices guides on a certain subject, we give it to it, and then we ask it a question and it says, right here on page 10 of this best practice guide, it said you should do this, this, and this. And then if it can't find the answer, it'll say, based on what I read and what you gave me, I'm inferring that this is probably the answer. And then it'll be clear about, if it still doesn't know the answer, based on web data, here's what I think it could be as well. So you know how much of the response is from the sources you gave it that you already know and trust, where it's just reading those sources and giving you the answers quickly, versus inferred, it assumed based on what it read, versus out on the global web, which are very different things, because we take formal best practice documents, give it to it, and then now it's so easy to know what happened. We also do this with our sales calls, where we get hours and hours of sales calls, and instead of having to watch them to be able to put together a proposal, we can ask it a question about the transcripts and it will perfectly answer what we need to know to build a proposal in 15 minutes instead of 4 hours. And so massive increase in productivity.
I love that. The only way I played with Notebook LM for that podcast feature, but I didn't really play with anything else. It sounds like the other part of it would be much more useful to me than, you know, a podcast with two voices that I have no connection to.
Yeah. That's fun. That's a cool part of that beta.
It's neat, but
Yeah, the most valuable part is actually within the tool, and so we're using that a lot right now across our team. And then, you know, there's a bunch of podcast use cases. I don't know how many. I have a podcast as well called Lessons in Leverage. And so, yeah, I'm sure you guys have seen the same thing, and probably other guests have talked about it. But there's a lot of creative uses for summarization and notes, and even, you know, we use 11 Labs so that I don't have to record intros to my podcast. My staff get it all loaded up. I approve the script, and then they generate it in my voice. And there's a lot of things that it can do to really accelerate that workflow. I've cut down my time on podcasts per month from like 10 to 12 hours down to about 3 hours, you know, a month, which
Oh,
is
really?
really, really cut down. So there's a lot of efficiencies you can get there as well.
Well, very cool.
And in fact, you know what,
Well,
David Meerman Scott, who's an exceptional marketer, he shared something that helped us with that, which is his workflow. And you can find this online. He's posted it, so I'm not trying to take credit for his work, but
right.
it's basically, he has a workflow of taking any long form content he does, which could be a long podcast, could be a long blog post. And then he takes that and puts it through he has a consistent set of prompts and steps to turn it into a podcast script, and then record the podcast script, and then publish it, and then short form content, and all these different things. And so you can set up a workflow where you take one really high quality piece of long form content. And as long as your AI again is using that instead of just going out to the global web, then the quality of it is really valuable. Where you lose value is when you use AI to generate crap that everyone else can generate, and then you post it out there as your own, and now it's just noisy, and you get punished on SEO, and it's not going to work. If you take your proprietary content and then you feed it that transcript, and you have it summarize it, reword it, cut it down, then you can get way automated with how fast you get a lot of content out based on one stable piece of content.
Man, that's interesting what you said about being punished, because that was one of the things, the company that I was at before, one of the things they were afraid of using it for anything, because of they were like, we don't know how Google, if it can be detected, and Google can be like, yeah, that description that you gave is obviously written by AI. I don't want anything to do with it. So it's getting a thumbs down on the metric. And
Totally.
then
And
some of
so
that stuff
there's
you
two solutions to that. One is there are tools, detector tools that will tell you if it's going to detect as AI. There are tools that will transpose it so it doesn't get detected as AI. And then there is, you know, for us, what we do is we just put a human touch on it at the end, and then we run it through a detection tool to figure out if it's going to detect as AI. But it detects as AI far less if the source content is your own, and you give it explicit prompt instructions not to pull in additional content from the web. Just take my content, summarize it, reword it, get it down to this form, put it in this format, because now all it's doing is editing what you said. And when it does that, then you're not, it's your talking patterns and your word patterns will not map to the larger LLM patterns that they're detecting, which is this
Right.
was
Yeah,
the
that makes
most
a lot of
predictable
sense.
X word.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, man, there's some great tips in there. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably it for us. I think let me find my wrap up here.
No problem.
Well, let's start with this. So Spencer, tell me how people can get in touch with you. What's the best way they can get in touch with you and find out more about you?
Certainly. Come to our website, solved, SOLV as in Victor, D as in David, dot cloud. That is our website. And you can fill out a form there if you'd like to talk with us. And you can certainly connect with me on LinkedIn is the place that I am the most, Spencer Lowe. Or you can do LinkedIn/in/Spencer K. Lowe. That's gonna URL to get straight to me. And of course, you can find my podcast, Lessons in Leverage, on all the social medias or lessonsinleverage.com, where we basically just talk about finding leverage through high leverage mindsets, tools. AI would be a tool for leverage, and practices and habits. So we're just helping people get more out of their life and what they want. So that's more of a passion project to do on the side. It has nothing to do with my business, just more something that I like talking about. So they can find me in
Yeah, for sure.
places.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, Spencer, for joining us for a practical conversation about AI and its potential for business. You can learn more about Spencer by going to lessonsinleverage.com, or you can go check out the service, the product, solved.cloud, and that's SOLVD.cloud. And thank you to our listeners. If you run a business of any size, you have some ideas or strategies around the topics of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all levels of experience and exposure to AI. And we represent especially the 90% of us that are just curious about AI and we're not trying to be tech geniuses. You can apply to be on a future episode of Basic Business AI by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to solve the problem of lead generation, qualification, and follow-up by automating it completely, download the Conversational Funnels Blueprint for free at conversationalfunnels.com. See you next time on Basic Business AI.